If you have a copy of God's Word, Old Testament, book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Now I'll begin reading this morning in verse number 1. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. We've begun a couple of weeks ago a series of messages on the family. And we talked about there a couple of weeks ago in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 on forming the family. And then we looked last week over in the book of Psalms, and Psalm number 128, with the thought of the man of the house. Now, I'm going to get to the ladies. Rest assured, gentlemen, if the Lord allows me to do that and in time. But men said, you beat us down enough last week. But I want to look this morning on this thought, sticking with the standards. Sticking with the standards. We find that Moses, as he had wrote the Pentateuch, those first five books of the Bible, we find that he gave great instruction, great wisdom as he poured his heart out through the ability that God had given him under the anointing and the unction of God, gave out the commandments unto the nation of Israel. And we find in Deuteronomy 6 that he does give commandment unto the family. So let's stand this morning in honor and reverence for the reading of God's Word, Deuteronomy 6 and verse number 1. Like I say, with God's help this morning, and I can't do nothing without Him. Amen. I pray that you'll pray for me this morning as we stand, but with His leadership, preach on the thought of sticking with the standards. The Bible says, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you what ye might do, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve Him, and shalt swear by His name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. And you may be seated. Sticking with the standards. I believe it was Brother Steve Gunner that made mention of the fact that in one of his sermons we had there, as we had him here last July, he was talking about the standards on that old car, on that old wagon. And I don't remember exactly what they was hauling, but it might have been corn to the mill or whatever it was in there. But if you pack that wagon full and one of them standards on the side of that wagon gives way, everything that's within that cart, everything that's within that buggy is going to be lost. And my friend, I believe that is something that we need to take heed unto today. And we need to ask ourselves if our wagon is as strong as it ought to be. Is our family, that those that live with you, those that abide within your household, those that are the offspring of your bond with your spouse are the standards there in their life that they might be able to be victorious in a Christian home. They might be victorious in Christian living. That we might be the family that God has called us to be. I believe, first of all, as we look at the Word of God this morning, we make the observation, as we see there in verse 1, 2, and 3, a commandment of familiarity. A commandment of familiarity. Now, the children of Israel had heard Moses proclaim from upon the words that he received up there upon Mount Sinai, as that he had received revelation from a holy God through those Ten Commandments. And then as he was able to expound upon those Ten Commandments and able to receive greater direction from Almighty God as to how they ought to conduct themselves, we find that they were very familiar with the Word of God. And he once again states there in chapter 6, verse 1, and reiterates the fact. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. Now, we studied those words quite frequently in the 119th Psalm. Let's remind ourselves this morning, the commandments speak of the code of wisdom. The statutes speak of the ordinances, those things that have been prescribed unto us by God as to how we ought to conduct ourselves. And they remind ourselves that if a doctor gives us a prescription that we might be able to take a medication to heal our body, that we might be able to be made well from a sickness or an issue, hey, if you don't never take that prescription and get it filled, that medicine won't never be delivered. It won't never be taken. It won't never do you a bit of good until you adhere to the prescription in which the doctor gave unto you. My friend, we need to be under the direction of God. Amen. Not only on Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Hey, we need to be under the direction of an Almighty God every waking hour that we have upon God's green earth. And Moses speaks there, and he speaks of the commandments. He speaks about the statutes. He speaks about the judgments, those decisions from an Almighty God. And he says there, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Hey, God had brought them out of Egypt, amen. God had brought them out of bondage. God had brought them out of slavery. My friend, we need to be reminded as to what that God has done for us. Amen. Need never forget who we used to be. Need never to forget what we used to do. Hey, we need to remind ourselves, not dwelling upon it now, not getting ourselves all caught up in the moment that we want to go back and regurgitate some of those things and relive some of those things. No, but we need to remind ourselves that we might exalt the grace of God. Might it magnify the mercy that's been extended unto us. Now, Moses says there, he speaks unto them, reminding them of how that God brought them out of Egypt and brought them out of bondage and reminding them that they had a land in which they were to go and possess. My friend, I believe that God wants all of us to live in a land such as Canaan from the time we get saved unto the time that we go to glory. Wait, we ought to be living not in the wilderness. We ought not be wandering out there in the muck and the mire. I ought not be wondering just exactly what's going to take place. But my friend, we need to be having some assurance in our heart and our soul that we are where God wants us to be. Hey, we're living where He desires for us to be. He says, hey, you're going to go to a land and you're going to possess it. And He says there in this commandment of familiarity, there in verse 2, He says that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. My friend, we live in a day and time in which there is no fear of God. We live in a day and time in which there is no desire to give reverence and to give awe and to give respect unto a holy God, much less the people of God. My friend, but Moses says there that we need to fear God. Hey, I believe one of the first standards we need to have as a family, we need to show God reverence. Amen. Need to teach our youngins to respect Him. I'm talking about by the way that we adorn ourselves. And I'm not no legalist. I don't believe that we need to wear long sleeve shirts every day. I don't believe that women ought to wear skirts every day. Hey, I'm just saying that we ought to walk in reverence. Ought to walk with a desire to respect Him and to show ourselves honorable unto Him and to give Him honor in how that we conduct ourselves. Amen. There needs to be fear within us. That word fear means to be afraid, to stand in awe, to give reverence, to give respect, and to show proper attitude toward a holy God. And He says there to keep all His statutes and His commandments, what? Which I command thee, thou and thy son. Now, He's commanding not only that first generation, but He's making a command that they're to pass on unto the second generation. He's also making a commandment there. He says, thou and thy son and thy son's son all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. And I'll tell you what, God desires that we pass Him on unto our children. God's desire is that our children will pass them on to their children, and that their children will pass it on to their children. My friend, a lot of you grew up in godly homes. A lot of you grew up in a place where mom and daddy reverenced God. And they had been shown that. They had been directed that. They had been instructed that because their mom and their daddy desired that they might teach their youngins what holiness was, what reverence was, what respect was, what it was to show God and that you fear Him and you want to honor Him in all that you do. My friend, that ought to be a commandment of familiarity. And that ought to be so accustomed unto our children. Ought to be something that they're so aware of. Why? Because they see mama praying. Because they see daddy praying. Because they see grandma and grandpa reading the good book. And because they see them conducting themselves in a way and a manner that shows God reverence and shows God fear. My friend, we ought to desire in this commandment of familiarity to fear the Lord. Now the Bible says there, and that thy days may be prolonged. Now, I'm not saying that if you live at 100% as close to God as you possibly can, that you won't never get cancer. I'm not going to say that you won't never suffer from heart disease. I'm not going to say that you might not have an automobile accident right down the road down here. Because God is sovereign and God knows everything, past, present, and future. He knows what our days are going to hold. But I'll tell you what, if you'll love Him, if you'll look unto Him and you'll desire to walk as close unto His commandments of familiarity, I'll tell you what, God might just give you a few extra days. God might just give you a few extra years. God just might allow you to be a man that'll grow old enough to see your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Hey, my great-granddaddy lived to see his great-great-grandchildren. How about that? Hey, I'll tell you what, I believe there's something about loving God and serving Him that helps a man live a long and prosperous life. Now, I'm not a health, wealth, prosperity preacher, but I'll tell you what, you honor God, He'll honor you. Amen. You serve Him, He'll serve unto you. You minister unto Him, He'll minister unto you. So we find this commandment of familiarity. The Bible says there in verse 3, He says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Hey, God desires that we hear Him. Amen. He don't want us to just give Him an earshot and then forget what we hear. Because I believe that's what a lot of folks do when they come to God's house. They're just here to see and be seen. But I'll tell you what, God's desire is that you hear from Him. Hey, that hearing that we find there, it speaks to hear with attention. It means to hear with interest. It means to listen. It means not only to hear it within our ears, but that we give heed unto Him in our heart, that we obey Him and that we observe to do everything that God wants us to do. Hey, the Bible says there that God speaks unto them and He says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. God wants us not only to hear Him, but He wants us to observe Him. That word observe means to keep, to preserve, to protect, not only to know what to do, but to actually do what God says to do. Hey, He wants us to be performers, amen. He wants us to be doers. He wants us to be ones that are reaching out and showing others. Hey, you realize that God, most people ain't never going to pick up a Bible. Most people ain't never going to read this precious book that you hold in your hand this morning. No, a lot of folks ain't never going to open the pages of that Bible that's laying in your lap this morning. No, what are they going to read? They're going to read you. They're going to read me. Do you realize that we are living epistles? Amen? Hey, we're letters that other folks are going to look at and they're going to observe and they're going to read. And what God is wanting you and I to do is He's wanting us to perform out and to live out the very Word of God. That's what He says there. He says, hear, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it what? That it might be well with thee. Hey, I'll tell you what, if you'll just allow the Word of God to live in and through you, it'll take root, and it won't taste bad. Amen. You know when the Word of God tastes bitter? You know when the Word of God cuts to and fro? It's when we ain't doing what we ought to be a-doing.
Hey, the Bible says there, if we will listen to the Word of God, if we'll observe the Word of God, if we'll live the Word of God, the Bible says that it may be well with thee. That well means to be pleasing. Hey, God wants to be pleasing unto you. He wants to be pleasing unto me. He wants your family to have everything that it needs. And the Bible says that we need to observe this commandment of familiarity. Hey, that ye might increase mightily. That increase right there means to grow or to become great. My friend, God wants your family to grow. He wants you to become great. And I'm not saying that we're all supposed to just be busting out the seams in prosperity and that our bank account's going to grow so big that we ain't gonna, our head's going to bloat up and the button of our shirt's going to pop up because our chest is swollen out so big and because we think that we've just arrived. No, I don't believe that's what it's talking about. I think it's talking about God putting something in you to give you character from on high, to give you something that's going to allow others to see God's glory abounding upon your life, that your family is going to go great in the knowledge and the deep wisdom and the things of a holy God. Hey, we find the commandment of familiarity. Hey, continuing there, that you may increase mightily, and that means greatly, with strength and with power and with might, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hey, I'm glad that God is a covenant-keeping God, ain't you? Hey, God made a covenant with Abraham, and He upheld that covenant He made with Abraham with Isaac. In that same covenant that He upheld with Isaac and Abraham, He observed to continue it unto Jacob, who became Israel, who had 12 children, that became the 12 tribes, that grew into this mighty mass of people that we know as the nation of Israel. And God kept His commitment unto each and every one of them. You say, well, preacher, how does that apply to me? I was born on the backside of a larket. I was raised up in Swain County. I was raised up in the hills of these mountains on this eastern seaboard. Hey, what does that have to do with me? I'll tell you what, if you've ever come to a point in your life that you recognize you're a sinner and that you're destined to die and to go to a devil's hell, unless you got underneath the blood of Jesus and you cried out for mercy and you called upon God for grace and God honored you, and God looked upon you with kindness, and God saved you, and He redeemed your weary soul, and He wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and He secured you and set you apart. I fear you are a recipient of the goodness of God. Hey, God made covenant with you, and I'm thankful that He's going to observe it. Book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 20 says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Amen. Hey, I'm glad that God's a God that holds His covenant. I'm glad that God, through His glory and His grace, took my black, wicked heart and He washed it in His precious Son's red blood and He allowed it to be brought forth white and clean and pure. And God upholds His covenant unto the day of redemption. Hey, I'm glad it's an everlasting covenant. He says there in verse 21, "Make you perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." Amen. Hey, I'm glad God is a covenant-keeping God, and He observes to do it. Hey, all the way into the land that floweth with milk and honey. That milk was a staple item. Amen. Hey, it takes milk to grow. My little boy, he'll drink a gallon in about 2 days or three if Beth let him. He loves it. It's a staple item in his diet. It needs to be a staple item in all of our diets. But God said, "Hey, I'll give you everything you need to sustain life." And my friend, if you'll observe the commandment of God, this commandment of familiarity, if you'll allow it to be a standard in your home, hey, I'll tell you what, God will supply all your needs. God will meet all your staple needs. Hey, you won't never be needing for those things. It's essential for you to live and for you to breathe and for you to be able to see your home taken care of. Hey, honor God and He'll honor you. Hey, He says not only a land full with milk, that staple item, but He also talks about that honey. Amen. Honey was something that was there for the more elite. Honey was there for, it showed abundance. honey was there that showed that you had more than what you just had need of. Hey, I'll tell you what, sometimes God not only will meet your need when you honor Him and glorify Him in your home, but God will allow you to have more than what you need. God will allow you to have great abundance in your home if you'll honor Him. Amen. Hey, I'm thankful for what His goodness and His grace is. Hey, there's the commandment of familiarity. We see in verse 4 and 5 a concentration of fundamentalism. A concentration of fundamentalism. I believe we need to have some backbone. Amen. I believe we need to have a foundation laid in our home that honors God. Hey, we need to have some fundamentals of faith that we cling to and that we hold on to and that we believe in. Hey, we find the Bible here that describes here in verse number 4 a text of Scripture that the Orthodox Jew held dear to their heart. The Orthodox Jew referred to this as the Shema. And that word Shema is the Hebrew word for hear that you find in verse number 4. And God said, "Hear, O Israel." I believe what God's wanting to say unto some folks today is, "Hear, O Curtis. Hear, O Allen. Hear, O Brad. Hear, Tim. Hear, O Andy. Hear the homes that line up underneath these men. Hear the families that make up this church here this morning." And God said, hey, there needs to be a concentration of fundamentalism to be there in your life. Now, wherever you, at that home you're living in, they didn't take that and dig the footers and lay the block or the rock that made up that foundation and then just start all over with another footer and another set of blocks and another foundation. No! You don't lay one foundation on top of another foundation. Hey, I believe the foundation's right upon that foundation is where you start to build. Amen. Amen. Hey, that's where you start to put that plate and begin to build the floor and begin to raise the walls and erect a roof. Hey, you need to get the right belief within your mind, the right belief within your heart, the right belief within your home. And I tell you what, if you'll do that, God will honor you. Amen. Hey, the family. The Bible says there, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now, God puts this stuff together. Amen. God allowed you to teach on what you taught this morning. God's brought this to my attention to preach on today. Somebody needs to get this in their head that the Lord thy God is one Lord. That word Lord right there is the word Jehovah. That word God right there is the word Elohim. Remember I told you a couple of weeks ago that in the beginning God, amen, in the beginning, hey, the Bible tells over there that God said, "Let us make man in our image." God, Elohim, that means the existing one. It means the true God. Jehovah means the living God. He says, "I want you to take heed and understand that you need to have at the very root of your fundamental belief that there is not many gods, but that there is one God." And the nation of Israel was surrounded by a bunch of Gentiles. And the nation of Israel was surrounded by a bunch of heathens. The nation of Israel was surrounded by a bunch of folks that had polytheistic mentality. They believed there's many gods in many forms and in many fashions, and they've done multiple things. But Moses stands up and he says, "You need to have the root of your heart. You need to have the root of your mind. You need to have the very basis of your home. Hey, Israel, you need to take this and give heed that the Lord thy God is one Lord." Amen. Hey, we're a monotheistic beliefism. We believe there's one God. Now that word "one" right there speaks of unity. It speaks of unity in number. Hey, it's not describing that there's just one. Hey, the Bible told us over here in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, that Adam took Eve to be his wife, and they became what? They became one flesh. Now, they didn't just mesh together and they were hooked like Siamese twins from then on out, because if that's the case, a lot of us wouldn't be able to stand one another, right? But I'll tell you what, it speaks that they came together and they unified their hearts. They unified their minds. They became as one flesh. It's describing that there are three gods in one essence. I'm sorry, it's describing three persons. Back up, preacher. Describing three persons in one being. three essences in one being. It's describing God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Hey, they aren't separated, but they're one. They each have different duties, but they're one. They've each done different things in the course of history, but they're one. They're right now at this very moment doing different functions, but they're one. He says we're a monotheistic beliefism. Hey, we need to lay that right at the root of our fundamental belief as good Bible-believing Christians. Amen. Notice I didn't say Baptist right off the fact. Hey, we need to realize that we're Christians first and foremost, that this Bible is our blueprint for living, and that we serve one God in three persons. Hey, the Bible says right there in verse number 5, not only do we have that belief in our concentration of fundamentalism, that the Lord our God is one Lord, but He says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Do you realize that love is not just an emotion? You remember whenever you used to get that ooey-gooey feeling? Remember whenever you used to get that puppy love? And boy, you just couldn't wipe a grin off your face. All you want to do is just talk all the time. All you want to do is just write them little love notes all the time. Oh, you had that puppy love, that little bit of affection that you had for that spouse that you have. Might have been a girlfriend somewhere along the way, but there's just some kind of stirring, an emotional feeling. Got you all worked up on the inside. But do you realize that love is not just an emotion? Love is not just a feeling, but you show your true love by the way that you conduct yourself and you carry yourself out. Amen. Love goes beyond just feeling. Love, true love, produces action. And the Bible says right there in verse number 5, He says, thou shalt love who? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Amen. Hey, I love my wife. I love my children. I love our church. I love all my kindred. I love different things that I do. Some of you love your dog. You love your bass boat. And you love your job. And all these different things. But I'll tell you what we need to do is we need to love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. Hey, the Bible tells us there in verse number 5, He says we need to love Him with all thine heart. Now, think about this. We need to have an affection for God. We need to have an appetite for God with what? With all of our heart. That heart speaks of our moral character. It speaks of the very seat of our emotions. It's where our passions lie. It's where our courage comes from. Amen. Hey, you need to have at the forefront of your mind, at the very forefront of your character, at the very forefront of your being, that you're going to love God, that you're going to honor God, that you're going to observe Him in all that you do, in all that you are, in all that you speak, in all that you say. You need to step back and ask yourself, is what I'm going to do today honoring God? Is where I'm going today honoring God? Is what I'm listening to honoring God? Is how that I've allowed my youngins to be raised. Is it honoring God? And I'll tell you what, some folks rather honor their youngins and make sure that their passive little will is taken care of and that they don't never cry and they don't never get out of kilter and they always have their way. I'll tell you what, if you do that, you're not loving your youngin. You're going to ruin your youngin. You're going to spoil your youngin. What you need to do is you need to love God first and foremost and say, God, I want to raise this child the very best way I can that they might grow up into being a young man and a young woman that's going to honor You with all of their strength and all their being. And I'll tell you what, sometimes you got to pull out the chastening rod. Sometimes you have to teach them and correct them the right way. But I'll tell you what, you need to love God first. He'll give you wisdom, amen, as to how to do things. Hey, the Bible says there, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Hey, we need to have Him at the forefront of our mind. He needs to be at the concentration of our mind. But that mind moves under the soul. That soul speaks of our very life. It speaks of our living being. It speaks about the activity of the mind. Amen. God puts a thought process in our mind. But then He begins to allow it to be worked out in our body, to be worked out in our living, to be worked out in our life. And that's what God says, allow it to be moving from the mind and allow it to be lived out in the soul or the life. It talks about your very will. It talks about the character as to whom that you are as an individual. And the Bible says, well, love God with all of our being, everything we have. Hey, the Bible says there also with all of our might. That might right there speaks of our great degree that we want to maintain our strength, and we draw our strength from God, but we want to allow it to be worked up to a great degree that we might serve Him. Hey, the Bible says there, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and these words which, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So we see there that we have a commandment of familiarity. We see that there's a concentration of fundamentalism. Hey, we need to fundamentally believe that the Lord thy God is one Lord. He's one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And that Jesus came and lived, born of a virgin, victorious life, vicarious suffering, that victorious resurrection, that visible return, that He's one day going to come again. Amen. Need to believe right. Need to teach our children right. And I believe that it's important that we do that. The Bible says and teaches us here, I believe not only there's a commandment of familiarity, a concentration of fundamentalism, but there's also a commitment of family. A commitment of family. Look what the Bible says. He says there in verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. He says, thou shalt teach them diligently. Now, I know the mindset of a lot of folks is that the reason that their children are in the shape they're in is because that Sunday school teacher didn't do his job. Well, I sent them to church. I put them through vacation Bible school. I had them there on Sunday morning. I had them there on Sunday night. I had them there on Wednesday night. I put them under the subjection of those teachers and those overseers there in that church. And I'll tell you what, that's all well and good, but you cannot base the outcome of your child's life upon what they might get in a Sunday school class, what they might get within church. Now, I believe it's all well and good, but I believe you need to go above and beyond just what's taught here in the walls of this church. Amen. Hey, the Bible says, and thou, that puts responsibility right back upon mama and daddy. Amen. Amen. Hey, bring them to church. I believe it's important. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there that the sole responsibility of the outcome of your child does not lie upon the church, but it lies upon what takes place within the home and what comes forth out of mama and what's brought forth out of daddy and what's brought forth out of the elder brothers and sisters of the children. Amen. Hey, the Bible tells us and teaches us that thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. All these commandments, all this concentration of fundamental belief that we know right, we're to teach it diligently unto our children. That word teach diligently means to sharpen. It means to teach incisively. It's just like taking a knife and laying it upon a wet rock and giving it a good honing, that it might be able to do the work in which that it has been made to do. That's exactly what we're to do with our children. That's exactly what we're to do with our youngins, is that we're to teach them diligently, instruct unto them. My friend, you need to talk about Jesus, amen? Not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but talk about Him every day through the week. Give honor and reverence and glory unto God. Read the Word. Discuss the Word. Teach the things that are within the Word of God. As you break them down into digestible phrases, digestible sentences, break it down as Jesus did in parables, and take something ordinary through everyday life and allow that to be a stepping stone to bring them unto a deeper, further knowledge as to whom that Jesus really is and what the Bible teaches and what that God is all about. He says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. There needs to be conversation. There needs to be speaking. When thou sittest, when thou remains, when thou dwells within the home, you need to talk about God. Hey, whenever you're walking, by the way, to walkest, that means whenever you go and you come, when you live, the manner of life that you're conducting in this course of history, that you need to allow yourself to, at time to time, talk about God. Talk about Jesus. Talk about the Word. Teach it, enroot it, ingrain it into the mind of your children that it might move from their mind to their heart to be taken out in their soul and their life that they might glorify whom Jesus really is. Hey, these are some good standards. Amen. Hey, the Bible tells us here, teaching us about the commitment of family, the commitment of mama and daddy to teach. The Bible also describes it there in verse number 7, when thou walkest, by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Very last thing on your mind, whenever you lay them youngins down at night, I ought to be to pray unto God and ask His hand of mercy to be upon them. Teaching them how to pray. When thou risest up in the morning, teach them to thank God for another day. Hey, the commitment of family, it takes commitment, amen? It takes a desire and a determination. Hey, the Bible says there in verse number 8, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Now, that binding upon the hand and the frontlets before the eyes, this binding talks about to league something together, to confine it or to conspire it. And that sign speaks of as something as a distinguishing mark upon them, that they might be set apart from everybody else. And He says that it shall be a binding sign upon the hand. Now the hand is figurative of strength and power. Amen. You ought to realize that every bit of your strength and every bit of your power does not come from you, but it comes from a holy God from above that allows you to breathe and allows you to live. And then every time you look at your hands, you need to give God glory. Every time you look at your hands, you need to say, God, I'm going to serve You today. I'm going to be committed to teach these things unto my children. And I'm going to raise my youngins the very best way that I possibly can. And the Bible speaks about this commitment. He also says, as frontlets before thine eyes. Hey, those frontlets speak of bands. It speaks of the phylacteries. Now, the Orthodox Jews would take, and they had these phylacteries. Now, these phylacteries are little boxes made out of leather. And they'd take and they'd stick these verses of Scripture within those. And they would bind them with leather thongs upon their hands, take them and strap them upon their head. They literally took it to heart what the Word of God said. I believe what God is saying is that we need to, every time we look at our hands, need to honor God. Every time we look at ourselves in the mirror, every time that we look at the Word, we need to honor God. Need to allow ourselves to be committed unto Him. Having some standards and some backbone in our life. They say, hey, we're going to separate ourselves from the world no matter what the world does. No matter what might be politically correct, no matter what might be acceptable in our school system, no matter what they might be teaching on MTV, no matter what they might be doing down there at the ball field, praise God, I'm going to serve God and I'm going to live for Him. Hey, the Bible goes on and it talks there in verse number 9. He says, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Those posts, as it's described there, speaks about the doorpost or the gatepost. Upon your house, your dwelling, your shelter, your abode. And He says, I want you to write them. I want you to inscribe them. I want you to engrave them. I want you to describe them in writing there upon your house and upon your gates and upon those entrances. It's described in the Hebrew as the mezuzah. The mezuzah was a container of Scripture that was attached to the door. I believe when folks come into our house, they ought to be able to tell right quick that we're Christians. Amen? I don't believe they ought to be able to walk over yonder and look on the counter and see a bottle of wine. I don't believe they ought to be able to go over yonder and open up our refrigerator and see a case of Budweiser. I don't believe they ought to be able to walk in and smell some ungodly smell. Amen. Hey, I believe they ought to be able to come in and see an open Bible laying somewhere. I believe they ought to be able to come in and see some verse of Scripture somewhere upon the wall. I'll be able to come in and tell that this is a house that honors God, that loves God, that desires to be committed unto Him, that they are sold out unto a holy God because they've got some standards for Christian living. Hey, this world, that's what they need. They need standards. They need some truth. They don't need a bunch of half-truths or a bunch of half-committed Christians. What they need is some sold-out, born-again believers that's going to serve God the very best they can. I'm not going to say you're going to be perfect all the time. I'm not perfect. But I'm glad there's a place for forgiveness. Amen. There's a place I can say, God, I'm going to serve You the best I can. I know I'm going to falter and fail somewhere along the way, but one perfect man, they hung him. I'll tell you what, we need to serve God the very best we can. Hey, the Bible teaches us there ought to be a commitment of our family. Not only is there that, but there's also the consolation of faithfulness. Amen. Hey, it's going to get good now. Hey, if you'll serve God, He'll honor you. If you sell yourself out to God, men, say, I'm going to be the best husband, I'm going to be the best friend, I'm going to be the best daddy that I can possibly be. I'm not perfect, but I'm going to strive to do what I can. I'm going to strive to be what my wife and my youngins need as a stability in their home. Hey, I'll tell you what, God will honor that. Women, if you'll be the very best wife you can be, If you just serve God the very best way you can, raise your children right and honor God. Hey, God will honor you. Hey, there's not only the commandment of familiarity, the concentration of fundamentalism, the commitment of family, but there's a consolation of faithfulness. Hey, I'm glad that there's comfort in my heart to know that God is going to be faithful unto me. Hey, the Bible tells us there in verse number 10, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." He says there in verse 10, "to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not." He's going to bring them into a land in which everything's already set up. Amen. He's going to bring them into a place in which they're not going to have to toil. They're not going to have to go through a bunch of hardship. But God's going to honor them. Why? Because they've already honored Him. And the Bible says there in verse number 10, "great and goodly cities." That word "great" right there speaks of large in number and intensity. Those goodly things are those that are pleasant, those that are agreeable unto them. Hey, I'll tell you what, it does not say that we're not going to have to toil some on this side of eternity. But my friend, whenever you honor God in the work that you do, God will bless you. The Bible says right there in verse number 11, He says there, "and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not." He says, not only is there going to be cities out there that you didn't even build, but there's going to be some houses full of things that you didn't even attempt to fill. Hey, the Bible says there, "and wells dig which thou diggest not." Now, I'll tell you what, it's one thing to erect something on top of the ground, but it's another thing to go digging. Can you imagine that day and time, what type of tools they might have had to dig with? Probably wasn't no backhoe, I can guarantee you that. Probably didn't even have a good spade or shovel, what we got today. But they had to work and had to sweat and had to toil. The Bible says there, you're going to go in that land. I'm going to run all the Gentiles out. I'm going to run all those heathens out. And I'm going to allow you to drink from the wells that I sovereignly, providentially allowed them to dig, because I knew there was going to come a day in which you was going to come and you was going to inhabit this land that's flowing with milk and with honey. And my friend, God was honoring those people because they honored Him. Hey, the Bible says there, "vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not." Amen. Hey, that abundance, that joy, that healing, that soothing, everything they needed, God was going to provide, "which thou shalt have eaten and be full." Hey, that "full" right there speaks of one that is satisfied. Amen. Hey, you honor God. God be satisfied with you. God will allow you to be satisfied in this world, in this life. It ain't heaven yet. I'll tell you what, God can bring great peace and God can bring great comfort. God can ease some heartaches. God can allow you to have the strength and the mercy and the grace to accept whatever life might throw your way. And no matter what might come your way, you're still going to be satisfied because God saved you by His mercy and God saved you by His grace. So we see that there's consolation of faithfulness, but also sticking with the standards. Now, we've thought about some good things. But here we find in verse 12 through 15 the consequence of folly. The consequence of folly. Hey, the Bible says there, "then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Hey, there's a lot of people that have forgot what God brought them through. There's a lot of folks forgot how that God saved them. A lot of folks have forgotten how that God provided for them, how that God allowed them to overcome a sickness or an illness. A lot of folks have forgotten about the good times in which God has provided unto them because they're just so used to just having the things that they have. But I'll tell you what, if you don't continue to honor God, God's not committed to keep giving those things unto you. The Bible says here there's consequence for fooling around on God. That word "forget" right there means to cease to care. And my friend, whenever you begin to cease to care about the things of God, whenever you cease to care about being the godly man that God wants you to be, and you cease to care from being the mama and the wife that God's called you to be, whenever you cease to care about being a child that gives honor and reverence unto your parents, my friend, God is going to bring some consequences along the way. And the Bible says there in verse number 12 that thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him and shalt swear by His name. Now, I don't never believe anybody ought to take God's name in vain or make a... Hey, God takes that very seriously. Some people use that word so loosely and they say, "I'll swear by..." And my friend, God takes that to heart. Whatever you commit to do unto God, you better do it. And the Bible says here that we need to serve Him, need to honor Him and love Him. But the Bible says, ye shall not go after other gods, look at that little g, of the gods of the people which are round about you. Hey, we need not be playing around on God. Need not be allowing things to come before our relationship with God. Hey, ball's all right, amen, but it need not come before God. Hey, the things of the world, some of them's all right. It's good to go fishing from time to time, but don't let it come before you in your relationship with God. It's good to work, but don't let work come before your relationship with God. It's good to have family outings and time with your wife and your husband, but don't let it come between you and God. Hey, the Bible says there, ye shall not go after other gods or the gods of the people which are round about you. Why? For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. God's jealous. What does that mean? It means He's zealous for His people. He wants their attention and He wants all their attention. He wants their honor and He wants all of their honor. He wants their respect, and I'm talking about every bit of their respect. He wants all to be given unto Him through them. My friend, God is a God that's a jealous God. When you start playing around on Him, there's consequence. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. I'll tell you what, I don't want God's hand of wrath to be kindled against me. That word kindle means to burn with anger and to be furious. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of hardship that's fallen upon America, I believe. And I don't necessarily believe that it lies within the hands of the president and the politicians. I don't necessarily believe it lies within all those that have made decisions down through the years. I don't believe it lies within those Supreme Court judges. But I believe it all goes back to where we have lost our desire to be the family that God initiated us to be. Amen. Hey, where there's strong families, there'll be strong communities. There'll be strong churches. There'll be strong counties and states. There'll be a strong country when the family decides, hey, I'm going to stick with the standards in which God has laid before me. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.